Turning again tonight, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. While you're looking that up, can I thank Mr. Greer for his kind words of, and gracious words of welcome. And it's nice to be here to preach the word. And we trust that the Lord will bless us tonight as we gather round his own word. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. And begin to read together from verse number 1. We will not read the whole chapter. My text is verse 29. We'll read a few verses and then we'll move on down, but I will lead you through this as we go down the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 32, reading together, please, from verse number 1. Let us hear the word of God. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that have brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride in the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat, thou art growing thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and has forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. I want you to go down now to verse 28. Verse 28, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart for his name's sake. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer, and let's all who know and love the Lord take a moment now and just seek him and pray for the meeting. Pray that the Holy Ghost will come in great power. Pray that a work will be done for God and for his glory. Pray that souls will be saved and God will take a dealing with hearts. Let's all pray. Let us all seek the face of God. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we thank thee that by his blood we can approach again to the throne. And Lord, we cry to thee. We cast ourselves before thee. We pray, O God, that you'll remember us right now at this juncture, in this evening gospel meeting, the first gospel meeting of a new year. O God, we cry to thee upon your throne to remember us here as we meet in this little spot in your vineyard. We cry to thee, O God, that you'll send the Holy Ghost among us. Even as we saw this morning, you'll send a plentiful rain to revive your inheritance that is weary. O God, visit us tonight. meet the need of every heart in this meeting. Shut us in with God. Purge the atmosphere in holy blood. Bind the devil and the powers of hell and every demonic influence that arrays themselves against Christ and his cause. O God, let there be a binding of the powers of darkness tonight. We stand under the victory of the cross. We pray, O God, the blood will prevail. We pray, O God, you'll set souls free and save the lost. And I confess before heaven's omniscient throne and before this gathered congregation my great inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now, O God, of self and sin. Wash me completely in holy blood. And fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that divine anointing. Grant that divine unction. That divine power which God alone does give. O God, grant it, we pray. And glorify your Son. And extend his kingdom and build his church. Even tonight in this place. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a defining moment in the history of Israel. Moses' 120 years are at an end. 40 years he has led the children of Israel. But that is all about to cease. He will lead them no further. God has already Joshua lined up to lead them into the promised land. And really it's the final days in the life of Moses. One era ends. A new era is soon to begin. In the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, God tells Moses about where and when he would die. In verse number 49, if you want to look there, you see the details that God gave him. In fact, look at 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying unto him, get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount, whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people. The Lord has told Moses, you can view the land. You'll view the land Israel will inherit, but you won't go into it. No, for Moses, he's about to go to a better land. Moses is on the verge of heaven. Moses about to go to God to be with Christ, which is far better. Soon his burial will take place. There never has been a burial like Moses's. God buried Moses. And to this day, only God knows where he did bury him. Moses is about to go to the one who called him there in the bush that burned and was not consumed, and called him and gave him that call and that great promise that he'd be with him all his days. Certainly I'll be with thee, as he would lead Israel for the next 40 years. And Moses is about to go to be with him. The blessed Lord, he called him to leave Pharaoh's house, gave him grace to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, if concerning Moses and his death, the final words God said to him are striking in words of revelation, and they are, the words that God said about Israel to Moses are also striking. Words that reveal that in spite of Moses, in spite of his ministry among the children of Israel, the spiritual condition of some in Israel was not good. It wasn't good. That's the way we can describe it. Because verse 29 says, God speaking of them, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. A text that I want to consider tonight, the first Sabbath evening of a new year as we look to the future. God says of every sinner in this meeting without Christ, oh, that you were wise, that you would understand this, that you would consider your latter end. That's what I want to look at with the help of God. And the message I have entitled tonight, a message from God, to every sinner and every careless sinner in this place tonight. The first thing I want to show you is their foolishness. Look what God said in verse 29. Oh, that they were wise. The word wise, it has the meaning of becoming wise, to act wisely, to become what they are not, to stop doing foolishly. That's the thought in the text. To start and obey God. Stop the folly. Stop acting foolishly. See the word oh, the way the text starts, oh, that they would be wise. It gives a sense of emphasis. If they would only be wise, the Lord's saying. If they would stop being foolish. 40 years, you see, they've had this journey, taken from Egypt to the verge of the promised land. But through that journey, the Bible tells us there had been great provocation of God. And we'll look at that later. But there's foolishness in the camp. There's foolishness here among the people of a sinful nature. There was a provoking of the Most High. But dear unsaved in this meeting, the point is I want you to see right now that God says to you on the first Sabbath evening of a new year, it's time to put away the folly. It's time to start being wise. It's time to stop the foolishness in a spiritual matter. It's time to stop it. It's time to be wise. Foolishness is the complete contrast, complete opposite to wisdom. I'm not speaking here about intelligence or an educational issue. It's irrelevant when it comes to the matter of your soul and being wise about its salvation. Talking about wisdom toward your soul, toward your eternity, toward the subject of your sin. The Lord is saying here that there were those among Israel, some who are not showing anything but foolishness toward the things of God. That was the setting. I think that sums many a sinner up across our town tonight. It might even sum a few up in this meeting. Here's Israel. Moses goes no further. Joshua's taking over. A new era. And yet God says to Moses, oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. They'd wasted all this time, year after year, just like some in this meeting. Year after year. And this spiritual folly of neglecting the things of Christ and eternity and your soul, the subject of your sin and its pardon and your forgiveness, wasted another year. Israel had the greatest leader in Moses. Some of them made little of it. There was none like Moses. He stands out. They murmured against him. They had their bouts of idolatry. And towards spiritual matters, the Lord says they're not showing wisdom. The they in view are the careless sinners within the camp, causing great reason for concern, causing great reason for concern. And Moses would have known them well. He preached to them for years. God says, oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they might consider their latter end, their foolishness. I want to show you something else from this text, their lack of understanding. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they might consider their latter end. God is speaking of a people here who were showing no understanding about their end, about eternity, about Christ, about death, as I've already said, about the subject of their sin. And yet in this very chapter, the Lord gives them the most glorious pictures, the most glorious presentations of Christ in this 32nd chapter. Look with me at a few of them. Look at verse 4. They're showing Christ as the rock. Look at verse 4. There is the first time in Holy Scripture that Christ is referred to as the rock, that term that runs throughout the book over and over again, where Christ is referred to as the rock. And here's the first time in the Bible where Christ is referred to as the rock. Look at verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Verse 4, as I have said, it's the first time. The rock, this one with a perfect work, the rock that speaks of that which is unmovable, that supports all who flee to him, speaks of security for all who trust in Christ. Christ the rock. He shows them that. But look what else he shows them. Verse 10, he shows them Christ as a refuge. Look what he says. He found him in a desert land. And in the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. A lovely picture, speaking of where Christ brings the sinner from, a barren place, a place of a pointless existence, to be the very apple of God's eye. And the Lord reveals this. He shows them Christ as the rock. And then he shows them this picture of Christ as a refuge, seeking the sinner. You know what he says? He found him. In spite of it all, there's no understanding. There's no wisdom. Look at verse 11. Another great picture. As an eagle stir of up her nest, flutter of over her young, spread of her broader wings, take of them, bear of them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead them. There they're reminded of the tender care God had granted them, daily provision. The Lord led that people. And there again we see Christ and his guardian love and care. But in spite of it all, in spite of this presentation that they're given, it's as if they didn't understand it. They didn't see that all they needed was in the Lord shown in these great pictures, the rock who would support and strengthen them, the eagle, that great picture of paternal care, the apple of the eye, a term of love and affection, the Lord alone leading them. It all speaks of Christ and what he does for the sinner, finding them, bringing them from that pointless existence, out of that barren place, making them the very apple of the eye of God. In spite of it all, God has to say of them, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they might consider their latter end. I want you to think about this, dear people, tonight. This journey before us, this journey which is coming to an end, what a journey it had been. You cast your mind over it, let me tell you of some parts of it. They had seen God's wrath in that journey. They had known of that day that the earth opened and swallowed Korah and Dathan, Abiram, and all that pertained to them and took them alive down to the pit. They'd known that. They had known all the goodness of God. And Moses reminds them in a previous chapter that he could call heaven and earth to testify that he had ever set before them life, death. Blessing, cursing. Heaven, hell. Christ, or wrath. And in spite of it all, there's this lamentation, oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. That they might consider their latter end. These people, for 40 years, Moses preached to them. All their days they had known these great truths. God gives Moses this word for them. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. That they might consider their latter end. In spite of it all, there was spiritual folly. In spite of it all, there was no wisdom toward the matters of the soul, towards eternity, toward the subject of sin. In fact, in this 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, we see an unbelievable situation. Verse 17 tells us some had sacrificed to devils. Verse 18 tells us they remembered not Christ. Verse 18 tells us they forgot their Creator. There was provocation of the Most High. God going on to speak of his anger, his jealousy, that God was provoked. He says in verse 28, they were a nation void of counsel. A nation void of counsel. But I want you to understand, dear people, tonight, it wasn't that they weren't counseled. It was they wouldn't accept the counsel. They wouldn't obey that counsel that they had had for years. And the Lord saying in verse 28, it doesn't seem to matter what I say to them through my preachers. They live as if they never received counsel. They live as if they'd never heard one sermon. They live as if they'd never heard of Jesus Christ. I counsel them about their sin. I show them Christ. I warn of hellfire. I show them my love. I warn of wrath. I show them the cross and the types and shadows of the ceremonial law. I show them the remedy that's in the blood. I give illustrations of Christ here. I've shown them judgment. And the Lord says, in spite of it all, in spite of every message I have given them, I still have to say of them, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they might consider their latter end. It would seem there's some in this nation, and they just go on heedlessly. Nothing seems to turn them. Dear friend, does that sum you up? Nothing seems to turn me. Nothing seems to change this idea in your head, wherever you've got it, that all will be well when it won't be well. God had to say of Balaam, it was madness. As Balaam went on in this mad career, barrier after barrier set in front of him, he just kept going. And God said, it's madness. Is there a young man or an older man in this meeting like Balaam? Many barriers God has set in front of you. But you pursue this agenda. God said it's madness. Oh, that you were wise. A young woman, an older woman in this meeting. God has to say of you, and this road you're going down, it's spiritual madness. It's going to end in disaster. The cry comes through Moses the preacher. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would just consider their latter end. Never judge something. Never judge something when it's at the present. Show me the end of it. That's how you judge it. The end of sin. The end of sin, my unsaved friend, is the judgment seat of Christ in the fires of eternal hell. The folly needs to cease. 2013's gone, not to return. 2014 has arrived. We look to the future. God says to you in the first Sabbath night of it, oh, that you were wise. It has not been the case that you haven't been counseled. Israel were counseled. But there were some who would not take the counsel. It's madness. Like those in Gadara. In Luke chapter 8, and let me just tell you the story. Jesus Christ had saved among that people. Jesus Christ has saved among this people this year. Well, he saved in Gadara in Luke 8. You don't need to turn to it. But unbelievably, those who watched on and seen lives transformed, they didn't want the Savior. And they asked the Savior to leave. And my unsaved friend, that's exactly what the Savior did. He left. He left them. And I want to sound the warning on the first Sabbath night in 2014. I'm going to put it to you like this. We use the phrase, and I'm using it, my dear friend, it's not the end of the world if somebody doesn't speak to you, your neighbor or a friend. But I am telling you right now, on this first Sabbath evening, my unsaved friend, and I thank God you're here, but it is the end of all hope for you if God stops speaking to you. It'll leave you with a pointless existence in this earth until you die, and a damned soul when you die. Christ left Gadara, and he left those that looked upon the glory of his work, saving a demoniac, transforming his life, bringing him to himself, changing him, and the people didn't want him. My dear friend, oh, that you are wise, that you might understand this, that you would consider your latter end. Their folly, their lack of understanding, but there's something else. There was a need to consider something specific. Their latter end. It speaks of the end of the journey. We're all different in this meeting, but we are all on a journey. We're on a journey to eternity. The word latter, it gives the sense of something that's to come. It's something that's future. And dear people, you need to consider the way you're living in light of a coming day. A coming day when you'll die. A coming day of judgment. A coming day of eternal loss. If you die without Christ in your sin, it guarantees you a future of ruin. And you need to right now, tonight, come face to face with that. Forget about the preacher. It's God that's saying that to you. You need to be wise. You need to understand this. This subject of a latter end is a personal matter. Look at the words there, latter end. It's personal. It's personal. You see, this is where we get down to it. Every one of us, given a soul by God, where the soul goes, where you are in eternity, it's personal. I can't change your eternity. If the station of this church and the minister could take you all to heaven, we would. But it's a personal matter between you and God. It's your latter end. Personal. We can only tell you the way to heaven. And trust that you embrace it and embrace Christ, who is that way. The subject of your sin, personal matter. Sinner friend, we're talking about a subject that's personal to you. It's your latter end. It's your end. It's your future. And in the first Sabbath evening of 2014, God calls upon you to consider it. Because it's going to be my death. It's going to be my funeral. Tom Laverty's, it's coming. If the Lord tarries, it's coming. If the Lord tarries, I will be buried. Because I have a latter end. I have a God to meet. I have an eternity to go into. Moses is on the verge of it. The preacher in Deuteronomy 32 is on the verge of eternity. And this preacher in the pulpit tonight doesn't know if he's on the verge of eternity or not. But neither does anybody on the pew. All we know is this. God says, it's your latter end. It is personal. Your sin, your need of Christ, your need of the one shown in verse 4, my friend, look at it again. Verse number 4, he's the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Perfect. There's our Christ. Perfect in birth with that holy, sinless humanity. Without original sin. Perfect in life, knew no sin, didn't sin, couldn't sin. Perfect in death. The thief said of the Savior, this man have done nothing amiss. Pilate said of him, I find no fault in him at all. Perfect. God said of him, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Perfect. And sinner, on the first Sunday night in 2014, there's a perfect Christ for you. A perfect Christ for an imperfect sinner. The word perfect, it also means complete. Look what it says, he's the rock. His work is complete. Amen. Sinner, we have a gospel to preach. A finished work. An atoning death. A cry that went up from that cross, finished, to show the work the Father gave him to do was done. Sinner, you need to come to this Christ. It's complete. Salvation is accomplished, provided. But you need to avail yourself of it. A complete work. But my friend, I want you to see something. Your final days are marked by finality. Because it says, their latter end. The whole foolishness, lack of understanding of the sinner, it's all marked by finality. That they would consider their latter end. Dear unsaved friend, God's calling on you to face it tonight. It's your end. My death's mine. Your death's yours. It's your end. My funeral will be mine. Your funeral will be yours. It's your latter end. My eternity will be mine. Your eternity will be yours. Your judgment's yours. Your meeting with God is yours. All things as you now know them have an end. Someday we leave time. We enter into God's eternity. Because this all ends. The setting here, as I've already said to you, the preacher is about to die. That tells us something. Never again would Moses preach Christ to them. Never again would Moses speak of that way of pardon, forgiveness. But my dear friend, that tells us all a lesson. You're not going to hear this message forever. Just to keep it in the setting. In the setting, the preacher's on the verge of death. The tongue that preached Christ for 40 years is about to fall silent. And I tell you, my sinner friend, your days of hearing of Christ will end. They'll end. And it's your end. God says you need to consider your latter end. Let's have a few thoughts on it. Do you think you're going to be the only one whose sin won't find them out? Do you think you can die without Christ and hope some way to be with Him forever? You consider it. It's your latter end. First Sunday night, 2014, it's still your sin. But sinner and friend, I want you to understand something. There's a perfect Christ and a complete work for you to flee to. He's the blessed Rock of Ages. And I don't care what your sin is, the blood of Christ will wash you from it. And I don't care what it is, if you come to Christ, He died for it. That sin became His. And I don't care what it is, you come to the Savior tonight, God will pardon you in a moment. First Sabbath evening, 2014. As God addresses this congregation to consider their latter end. I was struck by these words this week. I was doing my morning readings. I was reading Matthew Henry, and he turned us to a text, Job chapter 18, where God spoke of the sinner being chased out of the world. And I tell you, my friend, when that happens, a sinner, that's their latter end. Chased out. That's the words of the Holy Ghost. Chased from light into darkness. Do you see what a solemn thing it is and why God calls upon men to consider their latter end? There is this thought among some, I'll sort it out later on. You know what I'm going to tell you? That just gives the great truth to that verse, that in your heart you know you have an end. In your heart you know this isn't going to last forever. But it also means, my friend, that foolishly you're gambling with your soul. You're gambling that you'll get another chance to sort it out. That's what you're saying. If God says tonight, consider your latter end, my dear friend, it's time to forget about any moment but this one. because here's a preacher on the verge of eternity. A preacher that's going no further. A preacher whose ministry's over. But my friend, you need to obey God tonight. Stop the folly. Understand this situation. It needs to be faced. It needs to be dealt with. You need to get to Christ. You need to get to the Savior. You need to, in considering your latter end, think of His. His cross. His death. Yea, substitutionary death on the place of sinners in their room instead. And sinner, tonight you need to come to Him. You need to wash and be clean. You need to seek the Lord while He is to be found. You need to call. Those are verbs. Seek, call. There's action required of you tonight by God. Don't do what someone in this chapter did. Forgot their Creator. Thought not about Christ. Unsaved friend. It's time to come to the Savior. It's time you were saved. And the Lord says that if you seek Him, you'll find Him. If you call, He'll answer. Seek the Lord while He's to be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man, his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him, unto our God, for He will abundantly pardon you. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this, that they might consider their latter end. Unsaved friend, it's wisdom to fear God and get to Christ. It's to understand to flee to the Savior. And to consider your latter end is to come to Christ and prepare tonight for heaven. Because your latter end is your latter end. It's your end. It's your eternity. And I pray to God that God will speak with the voice that wakes the dead. And that the Holy Ghost Himself will take this word and apply it to every heart in this meeting. There are some here and like the Lord said of Israel, I've given them all these pictures, I've showed them Christ time and time again. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. That they might consider their latter end. It means it's time to face it. Consider it. Deal with it. Because your end is your end. But friend, to deal with it, get to Christ. Get to Him now. new purpose in your heart right now. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer. And as all the Lord's people are praying, and dear unsaved, you're on the first Sunday night of 2014. And God's showing you this isn't going on forever. It's your end. All this is coming to an end. We're before God. Sinner, come to Christ tonight. Maybe you're troubled, confused, afraid. Oh, my friend, we know where you're at. I've been there. Believers know what it's like to be convicted of their sin. But they know what it's like to find pardon, to find peace, to find forgiveness. Sinner, lift your heart heavenward just where you sit and call on God to save you. If you want counsel, speak to us at the door. We can speak in the minister's room after this meeting. Sinner, come to Christ. Young person, older person, come to Him tonight. Be saved tonight. Yes, be saved. You know God has worked in these meetings in 2013. Still you go on. You jump every barrier that God sets in your path. Sinner, come to Christ. Be saved tonight. Almighty God and Father in heaven, quietness of this meeting house, O God, give deciding grace. Grant repentance toward God. Grant faith toward Christ. Lord, in these moments, bind the devil. Silence the voice of the destroyer. Give grace to repent. Bring souls through for Jesus Christ. May salvation come to this house. O God, open the floodgates. O God, do it now. Bring sinners to the birth. And save men and women and young people in this meeting. Remember those that remain for the Lord's Supper. Bless around the table. Those who must go home, take to their homes in safety. O God, answer prayer. Answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.